That's powerful there.
Amen. Thank God.
I'm going to tell you right now, that's powerful.
Amen.
You let that sink in, and it probably changed some perspective on many things.
Amen.
I'm glad Jesus loves us still.
Amen.
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 And in spite of, and just right on, I'm just glad that Jesus loves us. I am. Well, you have your Bible open to Mark chapter number 7, and I really prayed and asked the Lord, as I'm going to preach the Bible. I learned a long time ago that I have nothing else to preach. I really don't need to preach anything else. Man, preach the Bible. What else do you need? But I don't want to just preach the Bible. I want to preach the message that's needed for the hour. See, I believe in specifics. I believe God is detailed. I believe that God has a purpose. I believe that God is sovereign. I believe that God is in control of every situation. I believe God has exactly who He has here this day, for this moment, for this time, to hear this message. And so I don't want to miss it. And I hope you pray for me. It's very important that we pray one for another.
Amen.
Just get God's help. We heard a good Sunday school lesson this morning about how important it is not to lose the help that we need. We need help from above in life, whether you're preaching, whether you're listening, whether you're teaching, whether you're evangelizing, whether you're an engineer, whether you're working as a finance manager, whether you're working in carpentry work. Listen, we just need God's help. We need God. We need God. And so I pray that you would join me as we pray one for another. It's important. This morning we have a very familiar passage of Scripture to those who have been saved for any length of time and just maybe casual readers of the Bible. You've run across this account in the Scripture. It's a very familiar account. It's one that has some depth to it. It has some things that will make you scratch your head, because we see where Jesus, well, he... In Matthew's account, and I'm going to ask you to do that. Hold your place here and just turn to Matthew 15. And just, if you can do this, just kind of keep it to where you can go back and forth. It's the same account that Matthew gives, and Mark gives the account too, of what's called the account of the woman who brought her daughter to Jesus, the Syrophoenician woman. Mark says the Syrophoenician, she was a Greek. Matthew says that, well, she was from Canaan. And so we get a little bit about her background as far as nationally speaking, as far as her nationality. We know that she was not a Jew. She was a Gentile. And I'm glad for the detailed accounts that God gives us in the Scripture, because it helps us to get some background. So I want to give you a little background here. Okay, look if you would. Now, as you hold your place in Matthew 15, go back to Mark 7, and just as I said, keep it to where you can flip back and forth. I'll try not to do that too many times, but there's some things that Matthew adds I think would be a great help and shed some light on some of the things that this mother was confronted with. You know, everybody's confronted with things in life. Mothers are probably confronted with things that few people in life are confronted with. I do. I thank God for good, godly mothers. Ladies, I just pray that God would bless you in a very special way. You're special. Nothing like a good, godly mother, grandmother, good, godly wife. Good, godly ladies are the crown jewel of God's creation. And I praise the Lord. I do. I praise the Lord for good, godly ladies. Here in Matthew chapter number 7, I want to give you a little bit of a background before we get into the thought that God's laid on my heart. Look in verse number 24 of Mark chapter 7. Notice what Mark says here. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon. I find it interesting that Mark wanted us to know that Jesus was leaving Jewish territory. Very important here, all right? So Jesus had been ministering to the Jews. He had sent some disciples out, and he sent them to the house of Israel. He sent them to the Jewish people. And so he's ministering to the Jews, but now he's getting ready to turn. This is kind of a turning point in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, and he kind of cracks the door a little bit and to those outside the Jewish nation and to the Gentiles. Well, that would involve us if you're not Jews. And so the Bible says that from where he was ministering to, and if you'll follow the account of Mark, you'll find where he was in his own country in Nazareth. He was there in Decapolis. He was there in Gadara back in Mark chapter 5. And so he's kind of making some rounds to some Jewish population. But now he steps outside of that territory and to, in verse number 24, to Tyre and Sidon. And he entered into a house there. Now, there's some discussion about what house. I don't know that it's important, but we do know why he entered. He entered because he was tired. He was physically exhausted. When you follow what Jesus has been doing up until this time, you'll see that he was just thronged by multitudes of people. He went from one event after the next. I mean, just one thing after the other, dealing with people, ministering to people, answering questions, teaching lessons, just ministering to the multitudes. And so physically, no doubt mentally, he was exhausted. And he entered into this house. He retired there. And notice what the scripture says, and would have no man know it. You see that? Jesus was very popular at this point. And people were seeking him out. And word was spreading. There's this guy. I mean, there's this man that he's unlike any other person. You've got to come and hear this man. You've got to come and see what this guy does. I mean, this guy's causing blind people to see. This man's cleaning up lepers. This man's changing lives. There's people that are just touching his garment and they're being cleansed. And the word was getting out. And the scripture says that he kind of isolated himself and he retired to this place, to this house, and he didn't want no one to know it. But notice what the next phrase says in the last part of verse number 24 of Mark 7. But he could not be hid. Amen. He could not be hid. I don't know what that's like. You know, I think all of us, you get tired, you have a place that you can just kind of isolate yourself. Maybe it's a favorite place by a river. Maybe it's a place in your bedroom, in your house, in your basement, in your study. Maybe you have a place at work. I don't know. But you have a place where you can kind of isolate yourself and get away from it all and just kind of recharge and refresh and reboot, right? But Jesus couldn't do that. But I like that statement. He could not be hid. Can I tell you, Jesus can't be hid. Amen. If you're saved, he'll come out on you. Right? Remember what the Bible says. They took note that his disciples had been with Jesus. I'm telling you, when Jesus is in the house, he can't be hid. That's right. When he's in the church, he can't be hid. When he's in your business, he can't be hid. Jesus makes such an impact that he just comes through in all that you do. And I'm thankful for that kind of statement. I know what it's saying here, that he just couldn't get away because people found out. So that's a little bit of a background. I want you to understand what's happening here. So the Lord Jesus has been dealing with the Jews. And it's not my message to go into his ministry to Jewish people and how that changed when the kingdom was not accepted, when the Jews didn't receive him as the Messiah. Listen, there's some dispensational application here and some inference here. And I'm not getting into it, but it goes into a little more, and I may comment on it, but I want to talk to mothers today. I want to try to encourage you, all right? I want to try to encourage you about a mother who was in a crisis situation. I think that all of us are in crisis situations from time to time, in particular when it comes to dealing with your children. And so I want you to listen up to me, all right? The first thing I want, this is just a blanket statement, but I want you to understand this. There is a devil. You say, well, preacher, I'm in church. Surely that everybody that attends a church would know there's a devil. Well, whether people say they believe it or not, and whether people say they know it or not, I got to tell you, there's some people living like there's not. The devil's real. All right? The devil's not real because I said the devil's real. The devil's real because God said the devil's real. All right? I wrote down some things about this devil that you'll need to know, and I just want to run these by you. He's Abaddon, which means the destructor. He's the Antichrist. He can even be transformed into an angel of light. He is the angel of the bottomless pit. He is Apollyon, the destroyer. He's the beast, Beelzebub, Belial. He's the devil, the deceiver, the old dragon, the evil one, the father of lies. He's the god of this world. He's Lucifer, murderer, man of sin, prince of the power of the air, tempter, thief, son of perdition, the wicked one. He's the devil. He's real. He's real. And so if you don't get anything else from being in church today, I pray that you leave here saying, I'm going to tell you right now, that devil's a real somebody. Amen? He's real. Number two, he's coming after your precious little children. You say, oh, no, wait a minute, preacher. He better stay away from my children. What you going to do about it? He better not come to my home. What plan do you have in place? You listening? He's not going to ask if he can come to your place. The devil knows nothing about ethics, morals, scruples. He's a wicked somebody. And he's not going to seek permission. He's not going to let you know he's on his way. He's not going to wait for an invitation. He's coming to you. He has your family in his crosshairs. I want you to look down at verse number 30 just for a moment of Mark chapter 7. And I want you to notice what happens when Jesus finishes up this incident with this woman. In verse number 30 it says, and when she was come to her, you see that next word there? Her house. See, this word problem was. This is where the problem was. It was in her home. I'm going to tell you, when it's in someone else's home, it's bad enough. But when it comes to visit your home, it's really bad. Isn't that the way the problems are? I mean, when you hear of problems in other people's homes, because you care about people, it's bad enough. But I mean, when it comes to your home, well, now it's getting personal. Right? And so it got personal with her. I want to show you something that I try to connect dots in the scripture. The word of God is so deep. Amen. It just is. It's a wonderful thing. I encourage you, read the Bible. Read it. Now, I want you to look, if you would, in verse number 25. For a certain woman, it couldn't be hid. It says, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him. Now, there's so much just in that statement. I could literally preach the rest of the service on that statement right there. This woman, she heard of him. I don't know how she heard of him. I think I do. Back in Mark chapter 5, there was another little daughter. Jairus' daughter. And she was very sick. And Jairus went to him. You know the story. You've read it. If you haven't, I encourage you to read Mark chapter 5. And this little girl even was so sick, she died. And Jesus went and he raised her from the dead. You say, preacher, you don't really believe that, do you? With every fiber in my being. I serve a God. Listen, I wouldn't serve a God who couldn't raise the dead.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Are you listening to me?
Right.
What good is a God going to be if he can't take care of death?
Right.
Which is the result of sin.
Right.
Who are you going to worship? Why would you worship somebody that can't take care of sin and death and hell and destruction?
Right?
Right? I wouldn't serve a God that couldn't take care of death.
Amen.
And Jesus took care of Jairus' daughter. And the Bible says in verse number 25, you see it there, when she heard of him. Oh, I remember when it really dawned on me, when I really heard of Jesus.
Amen.
The light was clicked on.
Amen.
Amen. It was Romans 5:8. I remember it like it happened this morning. But God commendeth his love toward us. When that man started reading that verse of scripture, I can't tell you, it was supernatural. Something supernatural happened. Are you listening to me? But God commendeth his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The light clicked on.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost of God came into my heart. Are you listening? I repented of my sin and asked Christ to be my Savior. And God done a work in my heart that day, and I've never gotten over it. Amen.
Amen.
I heard of him. And when I heard of him, the Bible says she heard of him. Look at the next thing. She came. When she heard of him, she came to him. Amen. Remember when you heard of Jesus and God turned a light on in your life? She heard of him. Can I tell you that Jesus is full of grace? I gave that background. There's a reason. I want you to notice. Look at it here in verse number 24 again. He arose and he went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon. He went there. Now I want you to hold your place and go back just for a moment to Mark chapter 3. You say, well, you asked me to hold on to Matthew 15. I know. I want you to multitask this morning. Amen. Look at Mark chapter 3. I find this very interesting. I was just kind of running some references and sitting in my study and just looking, and I ran across this, and I said, wow, that's good stuff, Lord. God will give you a nugget sometime if you'll just stick with the Word. Mark chapter 3, Jesus in the synagogue, and I preached this not long ago about the withered hand, and Jesus went there and done a great work in the synagogue and raised this man up. But look at verse number 7 of Mark chapter 3. Are you there? Mark chapter 3, verse number 7. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem. Now watch this now. And from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and beyond Jordan. And they about, now here's our area, Tyre and Sidon. Now what are these people doing? Notice what the scripture says. A great multitude, when they had heard. Now what did they do when they heard? Well, the Bible says when they heard what great things he did, they came unto him. Now this woman came to Jesus, but Jesus went unto them. Now what am I trying to say? What is God trying to say here? This woman, listen, I don't know why she didn't go this time. I don't know why she didn't go. Maybe she didn't hear. Maybe she was one in that region that some of them heard. They went. They carried their sick. Isn't that what the Bible says? Look at it. When they heard, they came unto him. Look at verse number 9. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should be thronged him. And then verse number 10 says, for he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues, unclean spirits. That's what a little girl's dealing with right now. Well, there's already a group from that region who came and got some help. Unclean spirits. And when they saw him, they fell down before him and cried, saying, thou art the Son of God. So Jesus, there was people from Tyre and Sidon who came out to where Jesus was, and they brought their afflicted, and they said, Lord, help us. And Jesus was gracious, and he helped them. But some way, somehow, this woman wasn't part of that. I don't know why. Maybe her daughter was not afflicted at that moment. I don't know. Maybe she thought, I can take care of this. You know, we're kind of that way sometimes, right? Maybe I can take care of this. There's no need making a big fuss over it and traveling all that distance. I think I can take care of this. See, that's what human, if we're not careful, human nature will do that. Things that we should be getting to Jesus, we think we can take care of. Instead of just giving it to the Lord and saying, God, I need your help. I can't do anything without you. Have you got there yet? I can't do anything without the Lord. Have you got there yet? You say, well, preacher, listen to what I say. Now, I'm going to watch what you do. Because that's what really people are. It's not what we say, it's what we do. Have you got to the place of where you really believe, I cannot do anything without the Lord? I don't know why this woman didn't go. I don't. But I know this, she missed an opportunity. But aren't you glad that God is a God of another opportunity? Amen. We used to say we're glad that God's a God of a second chance. But I found out a long time ago, God gives more than two chances. Amen? Amen. Now don't you presume upon God's grace now and mess up. Don't you take what the preacher's saying this morning and mess up now. I don't know where God's grace will end in your life. I don't know where God will draw the line. But I'll tell you this, I am so thankful that God is a God of another opportunity. I'm glad that God will not snuff out just because we missed out on an opportunity. He says, okay, then you miss it. I'm glad that God will give another opportunity. And God did that right here for this woman. You go back to Mark chapter 7, and the scripture says that Jesus purposed in his heart. He said, I'm going to go back down there to Tyre and Sidon. Do you think when this woman came busting in the house here, by the way, this is something. Mothers, listen to me. This woman was so determined to get her child in the presence of Jesus, she went into this house where Jesus was trying to hide himself. Amen. Did you see this? Jesus was trying to hide himself. He was trying to get some rest. I'm not so sure that she didn't have to kind of wade through the disciples. When you read Matthew's account, they were telling Jesus, send her away. Amen. Send her away. It didn't slow her down. Mothers, listen to me. Doesn't matter who, what, when, how, you get your children to Jesus, amen. You get them to Jesus. It's the greatest thing you can do for your child. Get them to Jesus. Get them to Jesus. So, well, preacher, now you don't know what the need of my child or my children are. Don't need to know. You get them to Jesus. Jesus can take care of it. He can take care of it. So we're back in Mark chapter 7. We're going to learn a little bit about this this woman and her daughter. Look, if you would, in verse number 25. The Bible says, a certain woman whose young daughter, isn't that sad? Here's a young child. I tell you, there's just so much in this. See, I fear that we live in this country where we think, well, you know, the devil, he won't mess with your little children. Don't you fool yourself. Whose lies you believing? The Bible says here that this woman had a young daughter. The Spirit of God wanted us to know that this is not just this some teenage or young 20s. Listen, this is a young daughter. This is the apple of mama's eye. Listen to me now. This is a young child. This is someone that people may look at and say, well, there's no way that this little child could be full of the devil. But that's not what the Bible says. See, man will tell you things that are not in the Bible. That's right. That's why you need to carry your Bible. When a man's preaching, you follow along. Man liable to tell you something's not in this book. Look at it in verse number 25. This certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. In the latter part of verse number 26 says that she had a devil in her. This little daughter did. I'm telling you what the Bible says. This little girl was possessed with a devil. Oh, I'm a preacher, I don't believe that. I believe the Bible. Amen. Possessed with the devil. As a matter of fact, now you can go, hold your place here and go back to Matthew 15. We're going to see some wording here that Matthew uses. Go to Matthew 15 just for a moment. This is heartrending. It's heartbreaking. In Matthew 15, the Bible tells us of this same story. We'll begin our reading in verse 21 of Matthew 15. The scripture says, then Jesus went thence and departed the coast of Tyre and Sidon. He departed into those coasts. And behold, a certain woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. What's happening? There's a little girl. The Bible says she has an unclean spirit. When you look that word unclean up, I challenge you to do it. It means foul. It means morally impure. It means filth. You see this word in Matthew chapter number 15 and verse number 22? You see that word vexed? It's a very important word. The word vexed means tormented. It means, now listen carefully, obsessed. She's obsessed. She's harassed by the devil. Harassed. That means that she just keeps thinking these things that she doesn't want to think. Now listen to the preacher this morning. She keeps saying these things that she really doesn't want to say. She's obsessed. You say, oh, no, preacher, I don't believe in that. The devil has you. He's got you right where he wants you. Because when you start not believing what the Bible says because it doesn't feel right instead of what it says, the devil's got you. If you think the devil doesn't harass people, you're badly mistaken. Can't stay away from that sight. Huh? Got to keep on clicking that sight. Got to keep going back to that filth. Got to keep reading that stuff. Vexed. Listen to the preaching this morning. Vexed. Vexed. Can't quit thinking about it. I'm obsessed. I can't get away from it. I'm in bondage. I'm tormented. She said, my daughter's grievously vexed. And I'm helpless. I'm hopeless. I've lost control of my child, Jesus. I've lost control of my daughter. I don't know what to do. I don't have any answers. Can I tell you that there's a lot of people in our world today that's feeling what this woman felt this day? Maybe there's somebody sitting here this morning. I don't know. Maybe there's someone watching by live stream. I don't know. I'm here to tell you it's very real. Before we go back, I want to show you one more time here in Matthew 15, it says in verse number 22, it says the latter part of it, it says, my daughter is grievously, that means miserable, sore. distressed. I looked the word up. I encourage you to do it. Never happy. Always under a load. Young daughter. You know, when I was growing up, listen to me now. Children used to be happy. Remember when children were happy? Huh? Have you noticed the faces of our young people today? If you haven't, I encourage you to do that. Oh, I'm not saying every young person. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying the devil's gaining ground and we need to fight. Somebody needs to go to battle for their family this morning. Somebody needs to pray hell off their children's back. You listening? Somebody needs to plead the blood of Jesus Christ over their family. It's real. Hey, you might think it's a game, but I'm here to tell you the devil doesn't. You may be playing as a game, but he's playing for keeps. I want you to know now, this is real. I like what the woman said. Are you in Matthew 15? The woman said this. Look, if you would, in verse number 22. She said, have mercy on her. Is that what she said? Is that what she said, folks? Have mercy on my daughter. That's not what she said. She was invested. Mothers, stay invested in your children. Don't ever give up on your children. Feel what they feel. Amen? Hurt when they hurt. Know what they're up to. Be in tune with them. She said, have mercy on me. I'm feeling what she's feeling. I'm suffering what she's suffering. You can't separate the two. Aren't you glad for good godly mothers like that?
Amen.
This lady, she just heard of him. She hadn't really come to the full realization of him yet. But I'm going to show you here in just a moment what she heard changed her life before she even got to him. Before she even got to him, she believed what she heard of Christ. I wonder if you believe it. You say, I do, preacher. I'm not talking about up here. I'm talking about in here. A belief that changes your actions. Because she believed she came. She believed what she heard. It was worth the trip. Amen. It was worth her busting up in that house. It was. Could you imagine that? A woman in this society in the Middle East, a celebrity of sorts, Jesus was at a peak in his ministry. There were people thronging him, multitudes of people. And he's at a house, and no doubt some people saying, hey, don't bother the master, he's resting. My daughter's sick. Amen. You better get out of the way here. You got to fight me. I'm telling you right now, when mama gets that way, you better get out of her way. Now, you know what I'm talking about. She said, you're not stopping me. My daughter is grievously vexed. She has a devil. As we go back to Mark chapter 7 now. Verse 25 says, this woman had a young daughter with an unclean spirit. She heard of him and came. I'm not going to get into Greek text with you. I'm not going to do it. But the inference is immediately. When she heard, she didn't pray about it for 3 days. She didn't ponder it. She heard, and immediately she came. That's what the inference of the structure of this sentence is. She heard, she came. Right? That's exactly what it is. And notice what the scripture says here. She heard, she came, and she fell at his feet. That's a good place to be. It's a good place to be. She fell at the feet of Jesus. Now, what did this lady do? Well, we've seen her daughter. Her daughter's in a bad way. Mothers, I'm not saying that your children are under devil influence. I'm just saying that the devil's after them. Okay? Thank God for good young people. So the young people don't leave here today and say, well, the preacher thinks we're all full of the devil. No, I don't. I'm just saying, hey, be careful. You be careful what you open yourself up to. The influences and what you open yourself up to. You be careful. Parents, know what your children's into. Know what they're up to. Know who they're with, what they're doing, what they're reading, what they're listening to, what they're watching, who they're spending their time with. The devil's after them. My wife and I made up our mind a long time ago. If the devil gets our children, he's going to go through us to get them. We built a wall, and I believe many of you have done that. We built a wall around our children, pled the blood of Jesus, prayed for them. I pray for my children. God is my witness now. I pray for my children still today, every day of my life. I start my morning out praying for my children. Man, this is a terrible world we live in. Dad, Mom, listen to me. You need to be praying for your children every day. This is a wicked world out there. It's a terrible place. And we need to be praying that God would give our children strength, courage, and grace, and favor. And so we see this young daughter. We see her condition. We see her problem. We see her hurt. She's grievously vexed. She has a devil. And then we see this woman who has a determination. This woman who has a determination that would seek. She came to Jesus. She fell at his feet. And notice in verse number 26, there's a word that's used here. It says she besought him. You know what that word means? She was begging him. But it's written in the imperfect tense. Now listen to me. Which means a continuous action, right? An imperfect tense means a continuous action. She just kept saying, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. The Bible says in Matthew, he didn't answer a word. That didn't deter her any. Help me. You got to help me. It's my daughter. It's my daughter. Hey, I'm telling you now, when something happens to your children, you get serious about it. Would to God we'd do a little preventative and it wouldn't all be corrective. We'd learn what it was to serve God in our life and to honor Jesus. Break open the Word of God and feed them some spiritual food. We teach them how to eat. We teach them how to drink. We teach them how to potty. We teach them how to clothe themselves. We teach them how to do everything. How about teaching them to pray? How about teaching them to read the Word of God? How about teaching them to love Jesus with their life? Amen. Yes, Mom, it's important. It's important. Thank God that you change those diapers. Amen. Thank God that you teach them how to spoon feed themselves. Thank God that you prepare almost everything for them until they can do it for themselves. But by the grace of God, please, I beg you this morning, don't leave the Word of God out. Teach them some spiritual things. Teach them. Teach them. If you don't teach them right, somebody's going to teach them wrong. If you don't teach them that God is relevant, that church is essential, that worship is needful, there's someone out there that's going to teach them that it's not. And I just beg of you, don't wait until your child is grievously vexed with a devil before you begin to beseech the Lord on their behalf. Beseech the Lord on their behalf now. When they're young, that's why the Bible says train up a child. Right? Start teaching them from the earliest times in their life. Not just by what you say, but how you live. Don't just teach them, train them. Show them. God means something. God's important in our life, son. Daughter, God's important in our life. Teach them to fold those little hands and say, it's time to pray now. God's laid our daily food before us. Amen? It's time to pray. Fold your little hands now. Say a prayer with mommy. Say a prayer with daddy. Right?
Amen.
Yeah. By the way, I know it's Mother's Day, but I just have to say this. I don't know if this woman didn't have a husband. I don't know. I can't say. The Bible doesn't say, but I do wonder where he was. It does make me think about the world that we live in today. So many missing dads.
Right.
Dad, if you're here, and I'm not trying to get ahead of you. Father's Day's coming soon enough. But listen, if you're here, help out. Get involved in the spiritual interests of your children. You're the spiritual leader of your home. You're the high priest of your family. Yeah.
Amen.
I don't know. Maybe dad wasn't around. Maybe he'd done passed on. I don't know. But I know mama sure did care. And mama came to Jesus and she said, listen, she said, my daughter needs some help. She went in there, the courage that it took to go in that house. But then in verse number 25, I'm sorry, the last part of it, she was so humble, she fell down at his feet. And in verse number 26, she besought him. In other words, she was wrapped around the feet of Jesus saying, Lord, help my daughter. Lord, help my daughter. God, help my daughter. Help my daughter. Help my daughter. Help my child. You say, oh, preacher, I'd never do that. Be careful now. Be careful. You see, I know about a mother's love. And I know you ladies, you love your children. I think that probably most, if not all, the ladies in our congregation watching by live stream, listen, there's just something special about a mother's love. There's probably nothing you wouldn't do for that child. Don't you tell me you wouldn't fall down at the feet of God and beg Him, God, please, please help my daughter. Please help my children. Don't let the devil have my child. Don't let the devil have my child. Could I encourage you to start praying like that? You say, well, preacher, the devil doesn't have my child. That doesn't mean he doesn't want him. Now listen to me. Would you do that? Would you start praying? Well, let's bring this thing to a close. So here's this woman. Verse 25. She's got this young daughter with an unclean spirit. She heard of Jesus. She came. She fell at his feet. She was Greek. She was Syrophoenician. She was outside the covenant people. All right? And that's where this next little piece, and I'm not going to get in detail with it, but she did beseech him over and over again. As I said, that's in the imperfect tense. That means she besought him and kept beseeching him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be fed, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. Now, Gentiles in this day was known as dogs. That's what the Jewish people referred to them as. And again, I'm not going to go into all the dispensation inferences in this, but what is Jesus teaching this woman? Well, there's a lot of lessons that Jesus is teaching this woman. He said, before I get to your daughter, I'm going to talk to you about you. You know, when we begin to pray for our children, God does that, doesn't he? Are you listening, folks? Listen to me now. When you begin to pray for your children, God will say, now, what about you? What kind of example are you setting for little Betty, little Billy? What kind of example are you setting for them? You want me to do something for them? How about me doing something for you that you can live your life before them? Right? And so Jesus began to deal with her. Right? She said, have mercy on me. My daughter's this way. He said, well, I'm going to get to that. If you'll read Matthew's account, he didn't even answer her when she said that. Didn't say a word. How would you feel if you prayed and God didn't say anything back? You say, well, actually, preacher, I've had that happen. I have too. Did you quit praying? If you did, you wasn't serious. Now listen to me. Jesus is teaching this woman something. Do you quit praying when your prayers don't get answered the next day or the next week? If you do, it doesn't mean enough to you. God's wanting you to find out something about yourself. God already knows what it means to you. He wants you to know what it means to you. You listening to me? Amen. By the way, she called him Son of David. A Gentile called him that. He said, you're coming to me on the wrong ground, ma'am. You don't come to me on Jewish ground. You don't come to me on family terms. You come to me the way everyone comes to me, a sinner. Brethren, can I tell you, we go before Jesus on sinner ground. Are you listening? Yeah. That's right. Now, once you get saved, you can come on family ground. But she's coming. She said, thou Son of David. Did you read it there in Matthew? I hope you did. He said, oh, he wouldn't even answer that. Read it. He didn't even respond to it. He didn't even answer it. There's just many, many truths there. But I'll tell you this, we'll sum it up. For whatever else it means, I want to give you this. It means that when we begin to pray for our children, for our family, God wants to teach us something about us. Where's your commitment? I'm glad you brought your child, but maybe you need to present yourself first. What about your need? Right? See, if we're not careful, we'll see all the needs of our children and we'll forget that we are their greatest influencers. We need some help. You with me, folks? And God wanted to show this woman, you need some help. I'm going to help your daughter, but you need some help. I want you to focus on you for a moment so that when you do focus on your child, you can focus properly. All right? And then he gave her a ray of hope. Look here in Mark chapter 7. Look, if you would. In verse number 27, Jesus said unto her, let the children, I have this next word underlined in my Bible, first. He left the door cracked, right? He said, we're going to get to you. He said, let first the little children. He said, there's something coming your way. You say, but preacher, it was just crumbs. You thank God for whatever he gives you.
Amen.
Hey, man. You thank God for whatever. See, some folks think God owes them a steak dinner. And see, that's the wrong attitude to approach God. God, you owe me the big buffet. You owe me the sprint meal. Now, she said, I'll just take the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She humbled herself and said, God, I realize I am what I am now. I realize that I'm not worthy to approach you on that ground. Lord, help me. I'll just take whatever you'll do for me. Amen. See, now God's done a work in her life. He's brought her to the place of where she can receive. Did she get what she came for, brethren? You better believe it.
Amen.
You better believe it. Well, let's close with this, all right? Did you notice what she said? Notice, if you would, in verse number 26, the woman was a Greek. She was a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him if he could cast out the devil. Is that what the Bible says? You with me now? Huh? Stay in tune. Don't miss this. That's not what the Bible says. She knew she was going to get something that day. She went with a heart full of faith. She didn't say, now, if you can, and if you've got the power, I know you've got the power to do it for others, but do you have the power to do it for me? She went with faith. She went with humility. She went with courage. And she said, I want you to do this for my child. I believe God is pleased with that. I believe God is pleased when people come and they say, I know you can do it, and I want you to do it for me. Amen. Read it again. I mean, it's just, listen, I don't know that there could be a more clear example of believing faith than that right there. She's coming. She said, I'm coming that you might do this. And then the scripture says, after Jesus dealt with her, and she said in verse number 28, she said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. And Jesus said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. Amen. He said, I like your faith. I like your humility. I like your courage. I like your concern. I'm going to do something in your life. I'm going to help your daughter. For this saying, he said, I'm going to do it. So you see, I guess this, to sum it all up, it comes down to this. A lot of what we get, mothers, from God doesn't always depend on our children's need. It depends on mama and dad. It depends on the parents presenting themselves before the Lord. The way we approach the Lord. Isn't that what he told her? He said, I'm going to look at it again now in verse number 28. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, because you have the faith you have, because you have done what you've done, because you have said what you've said, I'm going to work in your child's life. So don't ever underestimate the power of your influence upon your children. It's very important. Let's stand to our feet.